it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, and a happy Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Hope you had some great family time and you had a wonderful weekend, maybe a chance to get caught up with some of your rest. One thing I got caught up with, is 100% caught a lot of games this weekend. So looking forward to talking to you about a number of those games, whether it's Premier League, whether it was the USL Championship, whether it was the Major League Soccer playoffs, which were pretty dramatic in themselves. A couple things here. Show's always presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Number to call in tonight is 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in here tonight. Second segment, Victor Ariza from The Striker will join me, covers the Houston Dynamo and things soccer here in Houston. Third segment, Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, my partner on Dynamo TV broadcast. He will join us. We'll also hear from Bogdan Passat tonight. You may know him from coverage of the Dynamo here locally on a program called What's the Score, where he was a co-host. But he grew up in Romania, so we're going to talk about Romanian soccer, Georgi Hagi, a number of things in and around where soccer was in Eastern Bloc countries when he grew up and in his connection to the sport, because I think it's time for me to really start digging into all these different communities that we have and continue to bring some of the differing people on the air and learn how they got connected to the great game of soccer, or as it's globally called, football. And so we'll talk with Bogdan tonight. Also, remember this streams at ESPN975.com. That's where you get the podcasts of the show there as well. So we got a lot of good stuff in store here. We've always got it's money. It's like a tremendous holding midfielder. It's a guy you know what you're going to get game in and game out. He is producer Andrew Carlson. Andrew Carlson, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Glenn. I appreciate that glowing intro you gave to me.
Yes,
and look,
yes.
This isn't the first show we've got this week. We've got two of them this week. We've got one on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So all the football that one can possibly need over the next 72 hours or so we've got for you here.
Oh, we're going to have you covered. By the way, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, fantastic. Very uneventful, which for me is how I like the holidays. I don't like anything that's, you know, unexpected or too stressful. Didn't have any family come in, just had local family around with my parents and everybody else, and had a great turkey. It was a great time.
Very nice, Andrew. Okay, now stay with me because I'm coming right back to you in a second. I just want to remind people that other show will be Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central Time. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad will join me on that show. Tonight I'm going to talk some Ralf Rangnick to Manchester United, some of the dynamics in and around that, and the pressing style of play that Rangnick is known for, the high pressing tactics, how he discovered them, where he had an epiphany, his ties to England also, and he is a German, by the way. So everybody knows who he is. Of course, he's influenced heavily Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea and Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. This after the firing of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who was removed after the 4-1 loss to Watford. It was a 1-1 draw for Manchester United and Chelsea. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, because my producer loves Arsenal, and I did watch him struggle through some rough times over the years, Andrew, I would like you to play the two goals from the Arsenal victory over Newcastle back-to-back, please.
Saka in advance of him. Tavares. Bukayo Saka scores! That is a sweet Arsenal goal. It's a really sharp finish, but the intricacy of what went before was genuinely eye-catching. Tomiyasu over the top for Martinelli. Gorgeous! Just gorgeous! the most deft, most delicate, most delicious touch from Gabriel Martinelli, and Arsenal have comfort.
Okay, so these were two good goals. The Gabriel Martinelli goal, if you haven't seen it, go back and look at it, because the way he bends his run and then hits his volley, it's pretty spectacular. And Saka's goal is great, too. Of course, everybody comes out right away and wants to condition it because, hey, it's only Newcastle. But you know what? You got to beat what's in front of you. Arsenal now are in fifth place. 7 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses, 23 points. Andrew Carlson, you got to be feeling pretty good. There's a new spirit around Arteta's squad.
Oh, you've got to be feeling great. And I think that anyone who's saying, well, it's just Newcastle, well, for a good while now since the departure of Arsene Wenger, Arsenal hasn't been beating. They haven't been flat-track bullies. What they were under Wenger, especially during his last, you know, 4 or 5 years in charge, were, you know, they wouldn't beat the big teams, but you know what? They would beat all the flat. They would beat all those small teams down the table, and that was good enough to get top four. And right now, when you're a team that is in the position that they are, where you know you're not quite ready to be competing for titles, they've got the youngest squad in the Premier League. They've the 10 youngest lineups run out in the Premier League this year, all by Arsenal thus far. So you know that you're not competing for titles. What you need to do is you need to build that foundation and build that base to get back into European competition. And then after that, continue to add on so you can potentially make a title charge in a year or 2 years down the road. And they're doing that right now. The mood around the club is the most positive it's been in probably 3 or 4 seasons.
I would not argue with you, and that is an incredibly good take from you, and I love the fact that you started it off with, let's remember, Arsenal was not beating teams like Newcastle. So it's a perfect way to start it. Now we transition to Manchester United, 1-1 with Chelsea. Let's hear the goal. 1-0, United goes up on a goal from Jadon Sancho. Huge mistake is pounced on. Jorginho makes a mistake. Later, Jorginho would tie it up from the penalty spot. Controversial penalty. A lot of unforced errors in this game. It was great entertainment. Let's hear these two goal calls back-to-back, starting with Jadon Sancho.
No nonsense from Bruno. Oh, dear. Jorginho's had a nightmare, and he's clean through here. Sancho for Manchester United. His first Premier League goal, and the Chelsea captain can barely believe what has just happened. Jorginho for Chelsea scores beautifully, and the lead is a level again. Redemption for Jorginho after his error led to Jadon Sancho's goal. Wan-Bissaka gives away the penalty. It's 1-1.
Yeah, that was a bit of a controversial penalty, I thought, quite frankly. But isn't it amazing how in soccer matches, guys that make mistakes ultimately will be involved in a play that helps kind of redeem them. And in that case, it was Jorginho. Now, they were saying today that Jorginho, this is what Thomas Tuchel said, he lost the ball in the floodlights at the stadium. Okay, I wasn't sure why he was trying to bring that down under pressure like that, being the last man, probably would have put a head on it, but easy for me to say. Okay, so one of the interesting things about this game was that there was all this conversation that Cristiano Ronaldo, this was the big storyline, that he didn't get the start. And obviously, you know, this was one of the key main talking points for the 37-year-old striker, right, who has been brought to United, and in the beginning had everybody on a super high, and then it went to a super low with results. And then there was the talk that, you know, the reason he wasn't in the starting lineup is because, you know, that Ralf Rangnick already has been in the head of Michael Carrick, and a lot of this stuff was all refuted, and they were saying there was a walkie-talkie with Rangnick. All of this stuff has been refuted. But the Ronaldo talking point was a big one here, and here's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the former Manchester United star Roy Keane, the midfielder, and Liverpool's Jamie Carragher. Listen to this heated argument between Roy Keane and Jamie Carragher about Cristiano Ronaldo.
We're talking about stats. Stats obviously taking over the world. His stats since he's come back to Man United are good.
Goal scoring wise, yeah. What's the game about?
Where am I?
You talk about Salah. The game's about goals, Jimmy.
Man United.
The game's about goals. You said and goals. Well, goals. That's what the game's about. Ian Rush. What did Ian Rush do? He scored goals.
Did he press as well?
Yeah, he did.
Ronaldo doesn't.
But he didn't score as many as Ronaldo.
I'm not criticising Ronaldo as a player. What can he do at 37? He's a phenomenon in terms of goals. But I mentioned this in midweek with Lionel Messi. Paris Saint-Germain have signed Messi. United have signed Ronaldo. Two of the greatest players this generation. Yes? Two of the greatest players of all time. Are Man United closer to the league title right now than they were last season? No. PSG closer to the Champions League with Messi in the team? No. We speak about goal scorers or whatever position you are, you bring your own input to the game. But it's a team game.
So you think it's a mistake, signing Ronaldo?
Well, Ronaldo was never going to get Man United back winning league titles.
What was the point in signing him?
Did you win the FA Cup? Yeah, they come back to win the FA Cup and get the Champions League. They've gotten the next round of the Champions League. How much do you think that's worth to the club? If you're looking at the business side of it, the Glazer share price, that's what he's come back for.
Yeah.
If
you finish second,
second's no good to you.
I know exactly. Yeah. So you then sign Ronaldo at 37. You're not going to win the league in 4 years. If you sign someone at 36, 37, it's to win right now. If you sign Varane, a 4-times Champions League winner and a World Cup winner, it's to win right now.
Anyone who said Ronaldo is... No, he's not come back to win the league.
What's he come back
come back to help him win a trophy?
What's he here for?
So in the meantime...
What is he here for?
Well, Mourinho didn't win the league, but he won one or two trophies.
What? You finished second.
So when you won the FA Cup and all the trophies, were you not buzzing with that? Man United are a cup team at the moment.
You just said Ronaldo never come here to win the league. What is he here for?
To win trophies.
What are you at Man United for?
Cups.
Why am I going through this? Is that where Man United have gone?
Absolutely.
We're happy with cups.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm not. There, yeah. But that's where they are as a club. Look at the team. Look at the league. Look at the last 2 or 3 years. They're not going to win the league for the next 2 or 3 years.
What would you sign Ronaldo for then at 37? If they're not going to win in the next 2 or 3 years, start getting Greenwood on the pitch. Start getting Sancho on the pitch. If they're not going to win the league right now.
We're never going to win the league, but Ronaldo was never
going to win the league. There's no point signing
him. I'd say it one more time. To win some trophies. FA Cups. Yeah, I know. That's where they are.
Wow, that was some. That hopefully our interviews tonight with Victor Ariza and Eddie Robinson, we won't talk over each other quite as much as Roy Keane and Jamie Carragher did. But you know, heated discussion there, which there is something interesting in there about Sancho, Greenwood, Rashford, and the signing now and the hiring of Ralf Rangnick, because Rangnick is all about, and I'm going to do a segment on Ralf Rangnick later just to go a little deeper on him, about his counter-pressing system, the fact that he likes players 24 years of age and younger. Where does that leave Ronaldo? How does that work? And that's why that was always, to me, the Ronaldo signing was always going to be a little conflicting because of his age. All right, I watched Barcelona against Villarreal this weekend. Now, Barcelona is using a ton of young guys. They're trying to revive La Masia. There was some talk of Christian Pulisic going there. Let's hear a couple of the goals here. Memphis Depay and Coutinho for Barcelona here in their 3-1 win over Villarreal. This was a little flattering maybe to Barcelona. Nonetheless, a very, very big win for Xavi Hernandez.
Oh, yes. Depay seizes on the mistake, rounds the goalkeeper, teases the defenders, and could get that Barcelona winner. Oh, Coutinho won the penalty. Coutinho takes the penalty, and Coutinho scores the penalty and clinches all 3 points.
Ah, remember, Liverpool fan, when you were all up in arms when Coutinho left? Well, he's at Barcelona now. Barcelona, 3-1 win over Villarreal. I found this in a very interesting way, Andrew. Very interesting to watch Barcelona without Real Madrid in the struggles and the troubles they're in, bringing back a legend in Xavi Hernandez, and now trying to rebuild this thing. It's interesting because it is a lot of opportunity now for others.
Oh, it's 100% a lot of opportunity for others. And it's interesting from my perspective just because I can't remember seeing a club. Now, look, we've seen what United have gone through over the past, I don't know what, 5 or 6 seasons now, especially, you can say, the past decade since Sir Alex left. But I don't think we've seen as drastic a decline, just not even in terms of just the on-pitch product, but also the, you know, the off-pitch image with the debt and everything else is what we've seen with Barcelona really over the past year. And what they're doing now in terms of rebuilding everything with bringing Xavi back, it is a fascinating project that they're working on. And I think that they're going about things the right way, but it's just, you're right. I think interesting and intriguing is that the only way you can really talk about it, because it's a situation that I don't think we've ever really seen before.
Yeah, it is very interesting, because they also have Dani Alves has re-signed for pretty much nothing based on what he's made in his career. He's coming back in sort of homage to Barcelona. I would assume that's a signing at 38 years of age, where he's there to help kind of groom some of the younger players under the head man, Xavi Hernandez. Lionel Messi wins a Ballon d'Or. Lots going on. Lots going on in the world of soccer. We'll have Victor Ariza coming up, then Eddie Robinson. We're going to talk about the Houston Dynamo. I'm going to put some names out right now going to break. Pat Noonan, Diego Alonso, Tuca Ferretti, Alessandro Nesta, John Wolniak. Are you listening to me? Could these be coaches for the Houston Dynamo? Are these players and coaches that you would consider? El Turco. What about Antonio Mohamed? Gustavo Matosas? Nope. Miguel Angel Russo? Nope. Paul Daglish? Dominic Kinnear? Start lining up the phone calls. I want to hear what you have to say when it comes to who should be the next Dynamo manager. We'll do a deep dive on some of this. We've heard a lot of ridiculous shouts out there from people. Doesn't matter. Let's ignite the conversation. Big thank you to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there. Get in a BMW. Some good deals going on down there. You get in a sedan. You get in an X5. You go down there. Visit my friend Steven. Visit my friend Justin. Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Victor Ariza. We begin to talk the Dynamo coaching search. Whose options are going to be picked up? A lot going on here in the next couple of days before we have Pat Onstad on the show Wednesday night. Take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hit me up on Twitter.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Could you even begin to imagine that Italy or Portugal won't make the next World Cup? Well, one of them won't. If it were Italy, it would be two World Cups in a row they don't go to. By the way, they're the current European champions. They were put in the same pod of playoffs to get to the World Cup in Qatar. So one of those two teams will not make it. By the way, Turkey's also in their group as well. So it's kind of sad. But that could be Ronaldo not going to a World Cup. That could be the Azzurri not going to a World Cup. Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, by the way, it'll be Wednesday night and Thursday. Semifinals, Liga MX, Tigres and León, Pumas and Atlas. Tigres gets by Santos after 2-2 on aggregate on away goals. León 3-2 aggregate over Puebla. And Mexican League playoffs, always exciting. They do two legs, unlike MLS, which, by the way, does the single leg, which does not leave a lot of room for error for anybody. And by the way, New England will be in action tomorrow night against New York City FC. And they will not have played for about 3 weeks. So I don't see how that's any advantage at all. A three-week break while everybody else keeps playing? Well, don't know about that. Quick word here for Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Our great friend Jan Christensen. Get over to Fondren. Get into Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. With that, we bring in from the striker, Victor Ariza. Victor, thanks for coming on the show. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Glenn. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to everybody listening in.
All right. So you heard me just mention the New England Revolution. It'll be close to 3 weeks before they get a game tomorrow night in MLS playoffs. I'm going to say they're not going to be hitting all cylinders here, and they're going to have to win that game not hitting all cylinders. What do you say?
Yeah, it's weird, right? I mean, I think you just mentioned Liga MX, right? And the cool thing about that is, you know, I'm watching it and, you know, Tigres scores, ties the series, and there's no penalties, right? Tigres is higher on the table, so they go through. Whereas with, you know, with MLS, you've mentioned that there's no advantage for the home team. And in this case, I think, you know, the one that kind of got the bad end of the stick here is also Colorado, right? Because, I mean, they also won their conference and they don't get as much rest. I mean, whether you call that an advantage or not, I mean, you know, maybe that would have served them against Portland. I don't know. But, you know, the only thing, I guess, that works in New England's favor is they'll be on their turf, hopefully with a good enough crowd. And, you know, it's home field for them all the way, for whatever that counts.
Yeah, well, Colorado was on their home field. I predicted Colorado was going to get knocked off by Portland. I just thought that was a good matchup for Portland. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. I'm still going to pick New England to get through, but I don't think New England's going to do it very easily, and I don't think they're going to do it playing the best of soccer, to your point, them being up there. All right, let's talk. Let's get in, though, to before we talk a little more MLS playoffs, let's get into talking about the next Dynamo coach. You know, I put something out today. There was all kinds of responses and all kinds of interesting choices. We even got Gus Poyet was one of them. You know, you've got all kinds of people, Gustavo Matosas, Miguel Angel Russo, Antonio Mohamed, Tuca Ferretti, Christopher Scroggins said Diego Alonso, Gus Poyet from Jay Chavez. Nacho Ambriz has gotten a lot of run. Antonio Mohamed, we mentioned that. Matias Almeida. Yeah. And then we all know that the likes of, you know, Paul Dalglish will be hoping to potentially get an interview and a job. Chris Armas, Luchi Gonzalez. Now, when I put Chris Armas out, I didn't put that out as he's the choice. I'm just putting out what people are saying and who's available.
Right.
Jason Kreis, Mike Petke. What are your thoughts on the potential hiring for the Houston Dynamo, the next coach? What do you know?
Well, it's tough. Like, I mean, you know, Onstad's obviously mentioned that he wants to get somebody with MLS coaching experience, but I mean, the options are just not—they're not that great, right? I mean, they all have question marks. You know, I would say big question marks in terms of somebody proven. You know, Onstad went down to Mexico, right, to get a look at talent and then potentially interview some coaches down there. I know Lester reported that. He put that out. So I kind of think that's the way the Dynamo go. If they want to get somebody experienced, and there's certainly no lack of names available, right? I mean, you just mentioned some of them. Two new candidates just popped up today, right? Like, you know, Santos got rid of their coach, Toluca. Got rid of their coach as well. So, I mean, I just think there's nobody really with a lot of MLS experience unless you go, you know, buy out Matias Almeida from the San Jose Earthquakes, which, you know, I know that, you know, the quotes out of San Jose were that, you know, the plans are for him to be there next year, but there hasn't really been a resounding yes, right, next to Matias Almeida. I would imagine that if the Dynamo make an offer, they buy out his contract. I mean, Almeida has certainly expressed interest. You know,
well, I thought Matias Almeida was out of contract at the end of this December.
No. He's got 1 year left, but, you know, he's made it known, you know, throughout the seasons that he wants more resources, right, in San Jose, and more resources is something that you know, Houston has said they're going to do. So they'd obviously have to negotiate with San Jose, but, I mean, it's totally doable if
okay, well, you know something I don't know. I thought he was out of contract this year. I thought I saw him quoted as saying that at one point. But he's also got business interests here, and he also was very interested in the Houston job before it was handed off, I think, to Wilmer Cabrera the last go-round. So that's another thing. He owns an indoor soccer facility or a soccer facility up in North Houston, and to your point, I think you make a very good point there that if he gets more resources,
well, he said it himself.
He also fits the narrative that Pat Onstad said about, you know, getting in your face, you know, heavy metal soccer,
right,
aggressive, yada 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 yada. So there you go.
And he might be the perfect candidate in that he marries both MLS and Liga MX experience. He's really the only one out there that can give you that.
Well, I think from personality to media, it might be a good fit.
He'd put some butts in seats with Chivas fans, yeah, for sure.
By the way, if you want to weigh in on who you think the choice should be, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So Nacho Ambriz has come up a lot. He's with a second division club in Spain. Gus Poyet was with Católica. Yeah, Gus Poyet was with Católica in Chile, if he's still there, the former Sunderland coach. That's an interesting, that was thinking out of the box a bit. What about Diego Alonso? He did great stuff at Monterrey. He had a really rough situation, in my opinion, to jump into in at Inter Miami with the way that club was being run and some of the lack of experience there. Plus, he jumped in during the pandemic. What about him?
Yeah, I mean that's the choice. I think there are better candidates out there, but it's weird, right? It would be funny because when he took the Miami job, he kind of got thrown in. He had less than a month to put the roster together.
And didn't speak English.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, you think they want to get this coaching? They want to get the right coach, right? Because this is an important. I think that's the one thing that maybe might get overlooked. There has to be the right guy. Otherwise, you might set the club back. 2 years. So it is an important decision to make. But it's all. They're also coming up. Pat Onstad said he wants to do the hire before the Christmas break and that meeting with supporters. That would give them about a month before preseason, actually less than a month before preseason. So, it's coming at you fast.
He needs to make the move real soon. The sooner rather than later, he knows that.
That's why you want to lean to MLS experience and get somebody that's kind of, that in a way favors Alonso. He's obviously kind of a job.
Yeah, but hold on one second, Victor. Victor, hold on one second. Hold on. Slow down. Victor Ariza, the striker, on the show tonight. You started off by saying, you got to get somebody with MLS experience. Then you quickly took me to Mexico to everybody who doesn't have MLS experience. So if we're looking at MLS experience candidates, everybody was talking about Ezra Hendrickson. He's now at Chicago. Bob Bradley's going to Toronto. Who would be the MLS experienced guys? I guess Lucci Gonzalez is out there.
Well, really, Bob Bradley was the only option. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, proven, Bob Bradley was really the only option out there.
No, he's not the only one. Chris Armas is out there. Lucci Gonzalez, Jason Kreis is out there somewhere. Mike Petke has won in the past.
Yeah,
I'm just putting the names out. I'm not saying these are my endorsed choices. We're trying to think of who's out there.
Kreis also out there. No, I get that part, but that's what I'm saying. I think these guys all kind of have question marks. They haven't really.
That's my point. You're not going to get anybody without a question mark. There's nobody who's going to check every single box. That's why this is going to be an incredibly important decision here. Now, I do like the fact that Pat has shown some leaning towards Liga MX, understanding about how that is so important here in Houston, because we've had presidents of the soccer club in the past say to my face that there is no way you can get the Mexican fan out to soccer games, and I 100% disagree.
No, absolutely, and they obviously want to. Now that the money's available, Pat Onstad said himself that, they want to get into that market. It's astounding, right? We've been saying this for years. Why go all over the world searching for players when you have an international hub, essentially, an international market down in Mexico? It's time to till that soil. And I guess that's the big positive, really, from what we've seen so far. But, again, you got to get the right guy to tie it all together.
Now we're talking to Victor Ariza of the Striker. If we're talking about guys like Tuca Ferretti, so let's just take Tuca Ferretti for instance. Okay, an amazing connection there with 11 seasons at Tigres. He's 67 years old now. He's going to have some guidance if he were to come here. He did once say that if an offer arrived, he would consider it around Major League Soccer back in May of 2021. I think that's when they were playing LAFC, right? I do remember that. These guys are not easy. Let me just finish. These guys are not easy to work with. And you heard Pat Onstad. He wants somebody that he used the word collaborative. Collaborative.
Right.
A lot of these guys are very autocratic in the way they do things. That's why when people mention Gustavo Matosas and Miguel Angel Russo, Matosas did a lot of crazy stuff with agents and taking money and stuff. but Miguel Angel Russo, 65 years old. There's another temperamental guy. So, I mean, this is why it's easy to throw these names out. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a fit. And like I said, every this hire is going to come with question marks.
Right. So, you know, maybe somebody like a Victor Manuel Vucetich, right, might be somebody easier to work with or somebody with that kind of personality. Now, I do think there's plenty of candidates in Mexico if they do want to go that route. And I do think, you know, while they don't have the MLS experience, they certainly have the coaching experience, right? Those are guys that have won that, you know, even a guy like Mohamed, right, twice did it under pressure, winning titles. He won a title at America and he won a title at Monterrey, and both in situations where he was heavily criticized. And, you know, in that sense, you bring one of those guys, you're not going to struggle with some of the things that maybe you've struggled with coaches in the past, right, where they're kind of learning on the job. The bigger hurdle will be, you know, going to try to build a roster in MLS with, you know, where you have to maybe have players in certain spots, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I would say along with that, with Antonio Mohamed, who's a very headstrong guy. He's a winner. There's no doubt about it. I remember his days at Toros Neza as a player, but he is headstrong and he would have to show some ability to be collaborative and work with people because that is what the general manager wants. Mohamed, by the way, is 51 years away of age. So that's an interesting one. What about Pat Noonan? There's a quiet one.
I mean, I think you could see that. I mean, that the onset goes that way with somebody, you know, he's very comfortable with, right? Has an experience throughout his playing career. I think that's not out of the question. You know, but I think whoever it is that got him in fast, that's the bigger thing. And then, you know, we'll see from there. I just think it's going to be tough, right? Because there's no ideal candidate like we mentioned. So
yeah, it's gonna be amazing. I mean, these are all great names people are coming up with too. By the way, for everybody who reacted on Twitter and Facebook, you're coming up with really interesting names. Some are really way out there. But Victor, if I go back to Pat Noonan, he's at Philadelphia. He's around a winning organization. They're doing it with young players. They're doing it by making some very savvy buys in lower divisions in Germany. And there they are. They're sitting in the conference final waiting on either New England or New York City FC. So that's one that kind of slipped by because a lot of times you can look at the assistants at these successful clubs and go, would they be a good fit, right?
Right. But like I said, I don't think that's completely a home run. I mean,
it's not a home run.
Ezra Hendrickson was because, you know, Contra couldn't hire anybody from Columbus, right? But, I mean, Personally, I don't like those kind of hires. I mean, I think you've done that already, right? You already got projects that, you know, were in their first head coaching stints. And why do you want to go again, you know, on that route? But maybe.
All right, Victor, we're up on a hard break. We're going to have to cut it off. But thank you so much for coming on tonight. Good stuff. We appreciate you coming on, as always. Victor's writings at The Striker. Victor, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right, so Victor Ariza, The Striker. Yep. Pat Noonan, Philadelphia Union assistant. Nobody's saying these are slam dunks. This hiring is not going to be, it's going to come with question marks. Most coaching hires do, to some degree. And the ones that have mastered MLS, they're spoken for. All right, we're going to take a break here. Good stuff there from Victor. We thank him for coming on the show. By the way, Burning Topics by Cactus Music is up on Twitter. Take a look at it. Quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there, get in a sedan, get in a SUV. Advantage BMW Midtown, place to go. They're going to set you up in a vehicle. They'll take you through the whole sales process. You can buy, you can lease. I've done it for years. It's nothing like a BMW. The ride is incredible. Go down there, talk to Steven. Go down there, talk to Justin. Stay with us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Up next, Dynamo TV analyst, former defender, Eddie Robinson. I think you better slow
down, ride with me. ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Ah, the legendary Dick Dale, rest in peace. I don't know if you ever saw him live, but I saw him down at the Continental Club, a number of different places. What a sound, is all I can tell you. It's a privilege to have seen him. I came to him late in my music exploration. You are listening to a man who was in the pit for the Rolling Stones in Austin, by the way. I feel pretty good about that. I know Quinn from Cactus Music also does. What a great show. All right, welcome back to the show here. Right now in the Houston Dynamo coaching sweepstakes, Antonio Mohamed, Nacho Ambriz, Diego Alonso seem to be getting most of the votes for potential from fans out there. So just letting you know that that's based on Twitter and people reaching out on social media and stuff. So if you have a take, 713-780-3776, that's welcome into the show. He is the Dynamo TV analyst, also former Dynamo defender. He's been a Major League Soccer All-Star. He's Eddie Robinson. Eddie, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. How are you?
Do you want us to run that bug infestation commercial again? I know you really like that.
Absolutely love that. I was just up visiting my
McGrath,
family in North
right?
Carolina for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I was just up in North Carolina visiting my family for Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of people just like that, man. Honest and truthful.
That's
sounds
a
like
good commercial.
You do a great job.
Yep, yeah. And by the way, he loves getting those pests. I think that's McGrath. Is that McGrath? Is that what that was,
yep.
Andrew?
Yep.
McGrath Pest Control. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, McGrath Pest Control. We give a freebie out to them tonight. Okay. So Daspit Law Firm presents this. Eddie's on the show now. Eddie, did you hear any of that conversation with Victor and I? We're bannering around a lot of names. Again, I'm trying to remind people we're not endorsing these names. We're discussing this and we're bringing them up because it's a process that Pat Onstad's got to get right here. And I don't think any choice is going to come without question marks.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was murky. There were a lot of gray areas. In my opinion, you've got to have someone with MLS experience. They've got to be bilingual, English and Spanish. If there's a third or fourth language in there, that's just an added bonus. But you look at a lot of the influential players in Major League Soccer these days, especially on the attacking side where the Dynamo need help. They're, you know, Central American, South American, and some of them don't speak English. So I think that's key as well. I will say that there is one candidate that you guys mentioned that reached out to me to have a conversation about the team and about the organization and ask my opinion on things. I'm not going to mention names or anything like that, but it's interesting how quiet everything is as far as, you know, serious, whether it's sources or information on what they're looking at. I'm fairly certain that Pat Onstad, as well as I know him, didn't go to Mexico looking for a coach. If he did, I'm shocked, color me shocked, but I think he was just scouting for some players, which I think is a great idea. A young, you know, potentially national team level Mexican player could really, really benefit, especially on the attacking side for the Dynamo. But as you mentioned, first and foremost, they've got to get a coach in.
So two things I'm going to say. First off, Bruce Arena gets along pretty well not speaking any Spanish. But my second thing will be,
Yeah. So
you then think Tuca Ferretti, the thoughts of Diego Alonso, guys that are bringing up Miguel Angel Russo, you're not buying it.
I'm not. And if it does happen, I really, really, really think it would be 100% necessary that the first assistant coach is there and has been in MLS for multiple years and understands the complications of Major League Soccer's roster rules, because there are so many of them. Roster designations, I'm sure that many fans have never even heard of. And funny enough, if you go on Major League Soccer's website and dig hard enough, you can find a lot of these things and how players qualified, you know, young DPs and all of these different things that, you know, certainly apply and could help the Dynamo as far as salary cap goes and all of these other things, given that, you know, between Fafa Pico, between Corey Baird, the amount of allocation money that's already been allotted in trades for 2022, it's something that you have to take into consideration. So if it is one of those types of coaches, he's got to have somebody that he trusts 100% that knows the rules of the league.
The beauty of those guys is, though, they can bring talent, like you said, and that under 22 initiative, the Dynamo are going to really need to cash in on that. So let me just quickly eliminate a couple guys. So whoever said Gustavo Matosas, the Uruguayan, yes, he took León to two titles, but that guy is documented having done a lot of underhanded stuff with agents. He was fired at San Luis. There was controversial audio leaked out on him. Taking percentages of transfer fees. This guy would work with the media to inflate prices and attention around guys. So he's out. Miguel Angel Russo, yeah, that guy's a winner too. Boca Juniors, Millonarios, no question. Won a Copa Libertadores, but he's 65 years old. I don't think he fits the collaborative nature of Pat Onstad. And remember very carefully that Pat Onstad, and Eddie, I know you know this, said, look, this has got to be a coach that works collaboratively. But if it's somebody that has to speak Spanish with MLS experience, boy, you're really limiting yourself, because that leaves you maybe Freddy Juarez. That leaves you Luchi Gonzalez. It doesn't leave you a lot off the top of my head.
It doesn't. But then again, you know, as I was mentioning with the Hispanic coaches that you were talking about, having a right-hand man that knows the rules and the roster rules, it's just as easy for a head coach to come in that doesn't speak Spanish to have someone that they trust explicitly that does speak Spanish, that in training sessions, that when they're trying to recruit players and negotiate contracts and all these other things that Pat may want them involved in, that they can help out. And there's just so many small, intricate details that go into this process that it's so easy to just jump to conclusions when we're on the outside looking in and we don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. And to be honest, I've tried my best to get some information on who's being interviewed, but it's very silent. It's very hush-hush, and everything's being held very close to the vest by Pat Onstad and whoever he's working with. So this is going to be interesting next couple of weeks.
That doesn't surprise me, though, because I think that's Pat Onstad. I mean, you know him better than I, having played with him, but I think that's out of respect for the process, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Okay. And with there still being, what, 5-6 coaching vacancies open, you know, there's got to be a lot of crossover. A lot of teams are probably looking at the same guys. So, it's like I said, it's going to be an interesting few weeks, not just for the Dynamo.
Now, Real Salt Lake, with Pablo Mastroeni doing what he's doing, it's going to be pretty hard for them not to hire him. Vancouver did hire Vanni Sarti. But when I talk about those two guys, I think one thing you have to go to them is they've picked up teams, you know, in the middle of a year or at the end of a year. There's the emotion of a coaching change. There's the emotion of going on a run now. And it might be a little bit different if they're taking a team from the very beginning of the season. So I would keep an eye on that, right?
Oh, without question. Mike McGee, former MLS MVP, tweeted last night, I think it was last night, that he'd run through a wall for Pablo Mascheroni. And when you look at Vancouver, I mean, it's charismatic. It's a winner, somebody the players love. You've got to find all of these little character traits in one coach that is very difficult. And these teams have found that. And hopefully Pat Onstad can find that as well. Hopefully, I won't say hopefully. I have no doubt that they will be as thorough as possible in trying to do that.
Well, let's remember, it's currently the Houston Dynamo. Two clubs, one playoffs in 15 years. You're not going to get the perfect candidate, and you're not going to have the perfect candidate clamoring to get here. So that's why this is a really difficult choice, no matter who's hired, like you said, like Victor and I said, It's going to be very easy to say, hey, there's question marks, right? I mean, there was question marks when Todd Ramos came. There were question marks when Wilmer Cabrera came. There were question marks with Owen Coyle. No question about it. Efrain Flores was bypassed and never even given an interview, which to this day still bothers me immensely. The former Mexican national team coach, Chivas coach, this was a guy who also set up Atlas's youth system. So how in God's name he wasn't even interviewed is just, again, a remarkable show of some of the idiocy that came with decision-making in the past, which hopefully is without a doubt, going to be changed now with Pat Onstad and a new owner in Ted Siegel, which gives us possibility.
Well, let's be honest here. I mean, Bob Bradley just left LAFC to go to Toronto, who is one of the worst teams in the league this year. You got to think, if the money's right and the resources are there to sign players to spend a little bit of money, or actually a lot of bit of money on three DPs, especially on that attacking side, maybe get another fullback. I still think, even with the re-signing of Mateus Vera, the Dynamo really need an elite number six in the middle of the field to get back to the playoffs to contend. I don't think it would be difficult to get a top coach if the money's right, you know? I mean, it's money talks, right?
Yeah, you brought up Mateus Vera. He signed a new contract. I'm curious what the dollar value is on that, because you're absolutely right. He can't hold down the six by himself. He's definitely an energy guy and definitely a worker. I thought Mateus tailed off at the end of the year. I thought he had a great first half of the year, and it began to peel off a little bit with some key mistakes in games and loss of possession in areas. But it was a rough second half of the season for everybody. What about Jonathan Dos Santos? If you got him for a good price, he's done with L.A. Would you bring him here to Houston?
I don't know. I was thinking about that today because I saw that on Twitter too. Somebody wanted him to come to Houston. I don't think he's a big enough name to really draw a bunch of ticket sales. So you'd have to count on him to score goals, get assists. Is he at the point in his career where he's taking things for granted? Or is he at the point in his career where he just wants a change of scenery? How many times in Major League Soccer do we see players who struggle for a year, don't necessarily struggle, but don't have the best year as good as they've had in the past, and then get that change of scenery, and all of a sudden it's this renewed confidence and this renewed just incredible play. So for me, that one's 50-50. I don't know. I'd have to talk to him, which that's not, you know, that's not something I'll be doing, but I'd have to talk to him. I'd have to speak to his agent. I'd have to find out where his head is at. I think that's a really difficult one to judge from the outside looking in. I mean, if LA's willing to let him go, you know, where do they think his head's at? For as good as LA is and as well as they've done for the length of this entire Major League Soccer existence, to let him go, that's also a question mark. So,
yeah, I think he'd be somewhat of a draw. I don't think he's like his brother Gio. I think he showed a lot of energy and commitment to L.A. this year when I saw him play. But that's a good one. To me, that would have to be the Price is Right, and to your point, where his head's at. But, shoot, that goes with every single player, I think. A lot of players in their option year, players with guaranteed contracts, Ari Lassiter, Ethan Bartlow, Teenage Adebi, Derek Jones, Mateus Vera. They're all guaranteed. And, well, we'll see what the future brings, because we'll have Pat Onstad on Wednesday. Eddie, as always, thank you so much for your insight. Thank you for coming on the show tonight, and we look forward to having you on again.
Can't wait, Glenn. Let's go get some meal soon.
All right, done deal. The one and only. He is. Not Edward G. Robinson. He's Eddie Robinson. Take a break. We got more to come here in the second hour. We're going to do some talk on Ralf Rangnick. We are also going to have some talk in and around the MLS playoffs, plus we will bring on Bogdan Pasad. He grew up in Romania, became a Steaua Bucharest fan. What was it like growing up in an Eastern Bloc country? And where were your influences in soccer? And where is Romanian football now? One name comes to real light, Georgi Hagi. Take a break. More to come.
As long as it pleases you, just take some time and relax your mind.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.